Welcome to the first episode of Camille's Coverage, where I'm just a girl that loves sports, and this is first, the absolute first episode. Unpolished, you know, unedited first episode. So today is October 2nd. There's a lot going on. We are in our fourth week of football. We are approaching the finals for the WNBA, and we are about to start the preseason for the NBA. So there's a lot going on. There's, you know, MLB playoffs, but honestly, my channel is literally just going to cover basketball, college, women, men's, and professional basketball, women and men's, and football. Like, that's what I'm sticking to, because that already, there's tons of stories every week about just those two sports. So we're going to focus on them, and then maybe we can branch out. So let me get into it, because I know when podcasts take too long, I don't want to listen to it tomorrow, no more, and I want you to listen to it. So here we go. The first thing I want to talk about today is, again, you know, Shedeur Sanders. So basically, the story of this is that a reporter asked him how he felt about Dylan Gabriel as a starting quarterback. And he literally just started, like, miming answers during his media session, avoiding, like, you know, verbal communication. First of all, my opinion on Shedeur Sanders is that I got to bring basketball into this, because I bring basketball into everything. I feel like Shedeur Sanders and Angel Reese are almost damn near the same person. They poke the bear. By they, I mean the media, the reporters, literally just like pokes Shedeur Sanders and Angel Reese. But when they react or when they say anything even a little bit out of line or anything to stand up for themselves, it's chaos. That's my, you know, opinion of that first. Like, I think that's ridiculous. And I also think that it's literally like a case study, in my opinion. Like, it's literally a case study of what Black people in general go through every day in life, what it is to be a Black person in a white corporate company, or just be a Black person in general. Like, you're always scrutinized, especially as a Black woman. Like, you're literally always scrutinized. No matter if you take the high road, you take the low road, you take the middle road, like, you're always scrutinized. You're always like, oh, you should have did this, did that. All formally correct you. It's ridiculous. So I feel like they're just poking the bear, waiting for Shedeur Sanders to react. Because, you know, what's his name? His brother, Shiloh, had already gotten, he got waived from a team for fighting in preseason. So it's like the media is waiting, and doing almost anything in their power to throw Shedeur off his game. And it's really crazy to watch. And you know what makes it even crazy is because that it's so obvious. Like, that's the thing that really gets me. Like, it's so obvious. Like, and I think if I'm Shedeur, I'm purposely not going to react. But there becomes a point where it's like, bro, you're going to stop playing with my name. Especially because I know I'm good. Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, y'all. For real. Wait, I didn't even touch on how the former Jets coach, Rex Ryan, labeled Sanders as an embarrassment. As in, he says, get your ass in the front row and study. Quit being an embarrassment that way. You should be embarrassed that you're not the quarterback now. Isn't that something? Like, what I got from this quote, I'm not gonna lie, it just feels racist, y'all. It really feels racist. Like, I should be embarrassed. I feel like they treat him like he's a kid that is throwing a temper tantrum. Like, and granted, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We have no clue, right? But jeez, like, get your ass in the front row and study. Like, his father didn't play in the NFL and is not coaching him on and off the field. Like, his father is in prime time and isn't close to other quarterbacks even in the past and even now. Like, are we serious? Get in the front row and study. Are we serious? Quit being an embarrassment that way. Embarrassment to who? To who? Y'all are trying to embarrass him. Are we serious? Because regardless if he plays, regardless if he doesn't, he's going to be okay. It's your job on the line. How much you want to bet that I know Shedeur Sanders is going to have a job regardless, because he's going to be okay, because Deion going to take care of that boy, just like Shiloh? My, come on now. Are we crazy? You should be embarrassed that you're not the quarterback now. He's not a quarterback for your team. He's not a quarterback for your team. And I also want to touch on the Ravens situation, about how it came out a couple days ago that they basically said no to the Ravens. Like, he didn't want to be in no talks, no negotiation with the Ravens when he was getting drafted. And now that Lamar Jackson went down, it was like, dang, you could have been playing right now. You could have been a QB1 right now. You basically could have been on the field right now if you went with the Ravens and you didn't tell them not to draft you, right? And I'm like, dang, like, if you look at it like that, but nobody is hoping that, like, the QB1 gets injured. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, he shouldn't. Like, just not even hope he gets injured. Just hope something happens so I can play. Or just, I hope I can play. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know. I just feel like, I think what he did was logical. Like, literally equivalent to being in high school and you being a really good freshman, right? And then you get bumped up to varsity. But then you're like, nah, I'd rather play JV. Because you know you're not going to get playing time on varsity because you're a freshman. You know what I mean? Like, unless somebody has a bad game or somebody gets injured or somebody becomes ineligible or whatever, that you get a chance. And sometimes all of that shit, if you're on a really good team, all of that shit doesn't happen. And the Ravens are a really good team and Lamar Jackson is a really good quarterback. So I feel like that was probably not the worst choice. I don't know why people have so much to say. I got to move on from this because God knows how long I've spent on this. All right, next segment of our show, we're gonna go a little bit back to the NBA. Well, not back, but we're gonna go to the NBA. And I know it's way too early to tell, but I'm gonna give my predictions for the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference, at least like my top four, top five, what I'm feeling. So we're gonna I want to start with the easiest conference, but they're both pretty hard. Mainly because the Eastern Conference is hard because it's wide open. You know, it's super open. The unfortunate, you know, injury of Jason Tatum made me lose faith in the Celtics. But listen, guys, I really like the Pistons. I'm not sure. I think Malik Beasley is coming back, and that's a really, really good. Obviously strength for them, but Cade Cunningham, I love Cade Cunningham since high school, since Montrevert, okay? I've been on the Cade Cunningham train. I feel like he's a dog. Like, I feel like he's not one of them pretty basketball players. I feel like in the NBA, or in general, like, there's a difference between a player and there's a difference between a hooper. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Cade Cunningham, hoopers. You know what I'm saying? There's, like, you know, people that play basketball are players that are fundamentally sound. Like, I think Jared McCain is the best, not the best example, but the first example that came to my mind when it comes to more fundamentally sound. But then there's other players like who I listed, Cade Cunningham, what did I say? Oh, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, that, like, it's natural. You know what I mean? I think Kevin Durant is the biggest example of that. Anyway, I'm saying all this to say that I love the Pistons. I don't have them as my one seed, right? And you know who should be the one seed, who should have been the one seed for a couple of freaking years now, is the 76ers. The 76ers got to get it together. And I feel like we're really redundant on saying, oh, well, if they don't get it together this year, then they'll never get it together. Or we're really redundant on, oh, if they don't get it together this year, we're going to trust the process. Guys, please, with the process, like, how long is this process? Because the only thing going up is not the banners. The only thing going up is the freaking age, okay? Like, seriously. They just signed Quentin Grimes back. So, but she did all of that to get about the same deal that he had before. So that was interesting. But Quentin Grimes is balling, y'all. He was balling. I know Jerry McCain is back, but I think it was only like 6 weeks, so he'll probably be back in the beginning of the season. Hopefully he don't get injured. No more! Please! But Jerry McCain's back. Tyrese is going to be Tyrese. But my thing is that, you know, Tyrese and Jared, they are short. That's a short front, short backcourt. That's a short backcourt. And then, you know, Joel Embiid pops up whenever he pops up, so you know how that goes. I mean, I'm interested to see how they're going to go. But in terms of defense, like, what the fuck are they about to do? They gave away Yabusele. But I'm really excited to see VJ Edgecombe. But he's a rookie. You know, he can only do so much unless he's, like, on some Paige Becker shit. But, like, this is the NBA. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I really want to put them, like, high. I really do. But I don't know. I have no clue. But you know who I'm going to put high? I'm going to put the New York Knicks. I am not delusional like a Cowboys fan. I am not delusional. I'm not even a Knicks fan, for real. I'm not a delusional Knicks fan. But I will put them at number one. There's no reason. No reason they shouldn't get number one. I feel like they should be number one in the conference. They should go at least like deep in the playoffs. Like, there's no way. But they're going to be my number one. I think my Pistons are going to be my number two. But the Pacers, even though they're an exciting team, I mean, Tyrese Halliburton was that branch. Tyrese Halliburton was that like head. Like, he was like the leader, obviously, you know. Siakam can only do so much by himself. So, yeah, that's my top four. The Knicks, the Pistons, the Sixers, and the Magic. So, for the West, this is where things get a little tricky. And there's so many new faces and new places, like they posted on Instagram the other day. I can't even keep track, y'all. You know, obviously, you want to say the Rockets. But no, I believe in these Mavericks. Let me tell you guys something, right? I think if Kyrie Irving comes back super healthy, and I think if, more importantly, Klay Thompson gets his Klay Thompson back, if that makes sense. If he taps into how he's playing on the Warriors, I think that's a very valid situation there. I think then you got Coop. Then you got, what's his name? Lively. Then you got, I'm missing somebody. I said Klay, Kyrie, Lively, Coop. That's only four. Who am I missing? Oh, Davis. You got Davis. Davis, if he's healthy, give me at least like a 40 games, maybe 40, please. 40 games, maybe later into the season, and really make a playoff push. Come on. Like, I think that the West looks super exciting. I'm looking at all the teams right now. It looks super exciting. The East is all right. It's cool, but a lot of people are injured. A lot of people are very unsure, but the West looks amazing, guys. Like, oh my goodness. We got the Timberwolves. I forgot all these teams are in the West. But with the Mavericks, I'm taking the Mavericks. If everybody shows up and remains healthy and does what they're supposed to do and remember how they played in their prime, I'm taking the motherfucking Mavericks. Okay. I'm never counting Nuggets out. As long as Jokic is on there, I'm never going to count the Nuggets out. Ever, 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 ever. Jamal Murray, when he taps into his Jamal Murray phase, I'm never counting the Nuggets out. The Warriors, they look good, you know. They're old as fuck, though. Like, let's be honest. Oh, I didn't even curse. But they're old. Come on, they're old. Al Horford, that's great. You know what I mean? Great. I'm not going to say he's not going to do much of anything. And I think, like, him setting screens, that Steph Curry, Al Horford handoff, whatever, that's great. But they're old. And I think that's going to show when they play a young team like the Timberwolves, when they play a young team like the Blazers, the Spurs, the Thunder. When they play a young team like the Thunder, like, can they really keep up with them? Let's say in a series, in a playoff series, can they keep up with these teams I just mentioned for seven games? Like, you know, even the Grizzlies, like, we have no idea, right? So I think the Warriors will be fun to watch. They're definitely going to have some great games. They definitely probably will make it to the playoffs, but they're not a team that I'm, no, okay? So we're doing Mavericks, Nuggets. The Lakers are going to be good because they're the fucking Lakers. Like, let's be honest. Like, LeBron is LeBron. Luka's Luka. We know. Like, we get it. We don't even got to touch on that because we know, right? But I'm not taking them. Do I want to take them? I really want to take the Timberwolves, but I feel like Ant just has so much fire. But, like, Rudy Gobert, bro, like, oh, my God, bro. Like, I never thought he was a good player. And I really just don't think he's a good fucking player, guys. Like, I do not think they're definitely going to have some great games. They definitely probably will make it to the playoffs, but they're not a team that I'm, no, okay? So we're doing Mavericks, Nuggets. The Lakers are going to be good because they're the fucking Lakers. Like, let's be honest. Like, LeBron is LeBron. Luka's Luka. We know. Like, we get it. So we don't even got to touch on that because we know, right? But I'm not taking them. Do I want to take them? I really want to take the Timberwolves, but I feel like Ant just has so much fire. But like Rudy Gobert, bro, like, oh my God, bro. Like, I never thought he was a good player. And I really just don't think he's a good fucking player, guys. Like, I do not think Rudy Gobert is good. Like, I don't know, but I'm not going to speak too much about that one. The Rockets, I want to say let me tell you guys, if the Rockets go get Russell Westbrook, I am taking them. And when I say I'm taking them, I'm saying I'm taking them all the way to the finals. That's what I mean. I am taking them for sure, or at least like last, like semifinals. Like, I'm taking them. They go get Russell Westbrook because they need because I think Fred VanVleet is out with an ACL tear, so he's out the whole season. But yeah, if they go get Russell Westbrook, or they just get like a tough guard, bro, like a tough guard, tough facilitator. With Kevin Durant there, then you got Azar or Amen Thompson? I forgot which one that was, but one of the Thompson twins. And then you got Sengun, bro. Come on, like, are you kidding? I'm taking the Rockets. I'm taking the fucking Rockets. Taking the Rockets. I'm just gonna tell you guys, like, my four. So the Mavericks, Nuggets, Rockets. Man, I need one more. I mean, the Clippers are just so old. I don't know, but I'm not gonna speak too much about that one. The Rockets. I want to say let me tell you guys, if the Rockets go get Russell Westbrook, I am taking them. And when I say I'm taking them, I'm saying I'm taking them all the way to the finals. That's what I mean. I am taking them for sure, or at least like last, like semifinals. Like, I'm taking them. They go get Russell Westbrook because they need because I think Fred VanVleet is out with an ACL tear, so he's out the whole season, right? Am I wrong? Let me make sure. Let me fact check, guys. Oh, yeah. So he tore his ACL, right? So he's out for the season, or at least a good 8 months, right? So, yeah, if they go get Russell Westbrook, or they just get like a tough guard, bro. Like a tough guard, tough facilitator. With Kevin Durant there. Then you got, Azar or Amen Thompson? I forgot which one that was, but one of the Thompson twins. And then you got Sengun. Bro, come on. Like, are you kidding? I'm taking the Rockets. I'm taking the fucking Rockets. Taking the Rockets. Who else is on here? The Grizzlies. I mean, if Ja come back, that's great. But I just don't see. I mean, Ja is really injury prone. So I don't know, y'all. Like, I'm not really sure. And then you got Jaren Jackson Jr. still. I don't know. I'm not. But let me just. Okay. So I'm just going to tell you guys, like, my four. So the Mavericks, Nuggets, Rockets. Right. And I need one more. I mean, the Clippers are just so old, guys. Like, that's why I haven't spoke about the Clippers. Clippers are so old. And James Harden, we know James Harden's track record. We know, guys, be for real. We know his track record. He does a great regular season, right? A great regular season. When he goes to the playoffs, MIA. Like, seriously. And look at the lineup. Kawhi Leonard, Chris Paul, James Harden, Bradley Beal. These are the Golden Girls. Why? Are you serious? And don't get me wrong, they're way better than I am at basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, they definitely, you got Brooke Lopez on here. Come on. These are old. These are people. These are about to give out on them. This is the same thing with with the Warriors. When they play a young team, like OKC, when they play a young team like the Blazers, when they play a young team like, maybe even the Rockets, minus Kevin Durant. Like, can they hang with them? No. I'm not taking the Clippers for shit. Are y'all crazy? Y'all are crazy. I want to take the Lakers, and I think obviously they will reach the playoffs because it's the Lakers, it's LeBron, whatever. But, I don't know. Oh, I'm crazy. My top four is OKC, the Rockets, the Nuggets, and the Mavericks. That's who I got as my top four. That was a lot, but that's who I'm That's what I'm gonna do. So those are my playoff predictions, or my top four teams, not playoff predictions, but my top four teams before the NBA season starts. So moving on into the W, the finals is approaching us. Game one is tomorrow. And honestly, I don't want to give my predictions on that because I haven't been following as closely as I'd like to regarding the WNBA, honestly, because it comes on days I have class or at work. So I'm not going to, you know, and I feel like watching the highlights doesn't really give a game justice. So I'm not going to really give my predictions until maybe game like 2-3. Maybe to see, or maybe even after game one, until I sit down and watch a couple games, or even just a couple, just a whole game of the Phoenix versus Aces. I mean, yeah, the Mercury versus Aces. I want to say the Aces, but I haven't really watched the Mercury play completely. I watched a lot of the Aces versus the Fever, and a lot of people are saying the argument of like, oh, well, the Aces are not going to win the finals because they struggle with the Fever. But the Fever, even though like half of them were injured, they really played their ass off. The people that weren't injured really played their ass off. Like, they really played it off. The hustle, the grit, like the shot selection, they really played their ass off. So I feel like that's not really a good like argument to make. But yeah, I do want to move on to this whole thing with the commissioner and Nafisa Collier. And if you need a refresher, I got it for you pulled up. So Nafisa publicly criticized WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, highlighting concerns over the league's leadership and governance. Now, this came right after the Minnesota Lynx lost their game. And they believe, and some fans believe, that it was over a call, right? But, or how the game was refereed, right? But my thing is, and this is a little bit of a, you know, like, I'm straying a little bit away from the point, from what I'm about to tell you guys. But I think when it comes to that, when it's like, oh, we lost the game because the refs suck, or we lost the game because he missed that call, I feel like there is multiple things that happen before a big call or a big play that puts you guys in that position. So, for example, like, I feel like if they missed a lot of foul shots that game, well, yeah, you wouldn't have been in that situation if you made all these foul shots. Or, yeah, you wouldn't have been in the situation if you guys played better basketball. Like, it doesn't really come down to the refereeing of one big call, you know, or just the referees in general at times. Which, by the way, that call, that was a clean steal. Like, if you go back and watch on a replay, it was a clean steal. But I digress. So, Nafisa Collier publicly criticized WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert, highlighting concerns over the league's leadership and governance. Right? Collier expressed disappointment over Engelbert's alleged comments, including a remark suggesting that Caitlin Clark should be grateful to the WNBA for providing her with a platform for endorsements. Now, let's pause that right there. I'm not the biggest Caitlin Clark fan. I am, you know, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm Team Angel Reese. But a spade is a spade is a spade. Like, Caitlin Clark was popping before the WNBA. You know, she didn't have the come up like Paige, where Paige was popping in high school. Because honestly, I don't know if I was just not too locked in the W world or in the basketball world, but I didn't know who Paige. I didn't know who Caitlin Clark was in high school, but Caitlin Clark was popping in freaking Iowa. Who the fuck? I don't know nobody else that went to school in Iowa but Caitlin Clark and that one center she played with. Like, I don't know no one else before Caitlin Clark and even after. I don't even know who's on the roster right now. Like, I don't know who's on the roster for Iowa right now. Like, and I just feel like that's insane how that quote of that she should be grateful for the WNBA providing her a platform for endorsements. Baby, she would have had the endorsements whether or not she went to the WNBA. She would have went overseas and played it unrivaled and still had a bucket list of endorsements and we would have still followed her. I'm confused. And it's crazy because, like, Caitlin Clark as we get to talk about, she didn't even say anything. She said she had no comment, right? Which is fucking ridiculous. But if I'm Caitlyn, I'm not going to say I'm popping my shit, because at the end of the day, like, this is my boss. This is my boss, and we have to be professional, especially if she is, if she does have all the endorsements, as Kathy says, or as we know, you know, you have to act a certain way. But if I'm Caitlyn, I'm saying I'm motherfucking Caitlyn Clark. I helped your program. And let's get this straight. Like, Caitlyn Clark didn't bring all eyes to the WNBA, right? There were still some people that really like basketball, really like women's hoops, that were still watching the WNBA. But at the end of the day, like, let's be for real with y'all. Like, she did bring a lot of eyes to the WNBA. And I'm so tired of people acting like she did not. Like, what the, like, I don't know what level of delusion we're in, but like, she did. Like, she literally did. And I'm not saying that's why people watch it today, but like, she's a big reason why people began watching it in the first place. Period. That's period. Okay. So I just think that's ridiculous. And I feel like that's like, what a power trip. I feel like from that, like, literally, what a fucking power trip. Like, and then on top of that, I also feel a little weirded out by Nafisa Collier just saying this in general, like, on this big podium for the world to see about their private conversation. Because now it's like, okay, well, all the executives or all the people that you work with are not going to tell you anything, because it's like, oh, when you get mad at me and you feel like I'm being a bad leader, you're going to tell everybody what our private conversations were. No! Literally no! Like, what? That's ridiculous. But Collier also cited a dismissive response from Engelbert regarding player concerns about officiating, stating only the losers complained about the refs. Okay, but wait, though. Did she lie? You've never heard a winner, a winning team, a winning player complain about refs. It's always people that lose. Well, no, well, the refs, the refs. And that literally goes back to what I was saying before I started this. Like, sometimes you just got to play better basketball. You got to play better football. I feel like, obviously, being a player myself at one point, like, the refs can impact the game. But you got to figure it out. You see that they're calling it one way. You got to figure it out. You got to figure out how to win a game. Because there's still some mistakes that you made that didn't involve the ref. And I'm not talking about Nafisa herself. But there's still probably some mistakes that the Lynx made within their style of play that didn't even need the ref's input. You get what I'm saying? Like, the refs didn't even call anything, but you turned it over. Like, you fumbled it out of bounds, or you missed that layup that should have been. You know what I'm saying? No team is perfect, but, like, let's not always talk about the refs when you lose. Like, sometimes it's the mistakes that you did, you know? And obviously the refs could have helped, but at the end of the day, they didn't. And you could have played better basketball. Period. Like, that's it. Right? Anywho. But so I don't know. I gotta agree with Kathy on that one. Only the losers complain about the refs. I feel like that's don't get me wrong, it's definitely unprofessional, because, like, you're the commissioner. Why would you say that, right? But what she said wasn't a lie. I mean, but that's something for a fan to say. So I feel like somebody of her caliber shouldn't have said that. But I mean, they have a wide support from players. Like, these statements had a wide support from players, including Asia, including Angel. So I wouldn't be surprised if we find her stepping down or leave an absence in the next few days, because these are insane accusations, and it stirred a lot of press. And which makes it worse is that the people that work for you agree with it. And as a commissioner, I mean, I can't even imagine, like, in the NBA, what would happen if, like, the players were like, oh, yeah, Adam Silver sucks. I feel like it would be a worse effect. But I think the fans think Adam Silver sucks, but I'm not sure if the players think that. But anyway, I'm pretty sure Kathy's going to step down one of these days. It'd be surprising if she didn't. Because, you know, her PR, her response was, I'm not going to read it, because it was solely PR based. Like, we know you didn't write that. Like, and it's okay. But it was solely PR based. And honestly, you could have kept that. That's really what I think. And that's really all I have for today. I'm really excited to start this journey. I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I just didn't know when I was going to do it. And I was just like, fuck it, we're going to do today. So this is the first episode. This is the end of the first episode of Camille's coverage. And I really hope, you know, it's received well, I hope it's received at all. I hope it has some type of interaction to it. Because I don't know, I'm just nervous. I see a lot of people doing podcasts. A lot of them fail. I hope mine is not one of those, but hopefully you like this episode. And this is like the unedited, well, this is edited, but this is like the scripted, unprogrammed version of Camille's podcast. So Camille's coverage podcast, actually. So hopefully I will come back and it will be cuter and maybe add some more video into there. But until now, I'll see you guys next time. I'm going to try to upload a video every Thursday or Tuesday. Every Thursday or Tuesday, an episode will be uploaded. I'm going to try to stick to that schedule. Until next time, folks.